Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Oh my God, Mindy, do you know what I saw on my run? Hot men everywhere. I guess I've just been so focused on Gabrielle and Alfie that I forgot what it feels like to be single. Oh. And now that I'm not with either of them, I'm...
You're not with Alfie?
Hot men everywhere. What's not to love? Now, season 4 of Emily in Paris was released on Netflix last week. Reviews of the show, which followed the exploits of an American marketing executive in Paris, have not been so kind. One scathing review in The Guardian reads, Emily in Paris season 4 review as exciting as watching paint dry if you really hate paint. The televisual black hole is devoid of plot, charisma and intrigue. Yet, despite this, the series is widely popular and a massive hit. So why are shows like this critically panned, but yet such a massive hit with audience? Kind of fascinates us, doesn't it? We have News Talk's Bella Finn joining me in studio. Bella, are you a fan?
I am indeed.
I know by your smile you are. We're on the same page here, aren't we?
Exactly, yeah. I'm halfway through the season so far, and in an unusual fashion, I turned it on and immediately forgot what happened last season.
Yes.
Which probably does feed into the fact that it is mindless, but I would say that's its charm. It's supposed to be mindless. And even at that, I credited it in my dissertation last year and I forgot what happened in it at that point too.
Brilliant.
She came up in class a lot. I was doing a master's in PR, and even though she's a marketing exec, what she does in her work kind of bleeds into that a little bit. But I didn't turn on the programme in the first place for that. I turned it on because of Darren Starr and Patricia Field,
yeah,
which are from Sex and the City. And I love Sex and the City. And the plots are so similar, it's unbelievable. It's about a professional, unprofessional woman in a big city with an outrageous social life and probably an even more outrageous wardrobe.
Yes.
Which is such a big part of the appeal. So I put it on initially because of that, thinking that the storylines would be similar. They're not quite as intriguing, but it's perfect television. And when I'm tuning off in the evening, I want to sit and do my crochet and have something colourful on in the background. And it's like a postcard from Paris, but the French probably wouldn't like that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant ad for Paris, I have to say, when I'm watching it. For anyone who hasn't watched it, it's a girl from Chicago, like you say, PR exec. She must be in her first or second year in a marketing company, you know, just kind of a few years past an intern, I would say, but yet is dripping in Chanel and seems to have an opinion at every board meeting, which, you know, if you want to start picking holes in it, it's absolutely ridiculous. It would never happen in the real world, but we're not there for that, are we?
No, it's not steeped in realism. It's supposed to be fun and colourful. I mean, there's a subplot on about it for Eurovision. I mean, yeah, one of the things that they have to do is figure out how to market champagne that nobody's going to drink. Like, where do they come up with these things? I don't care where they came up with
I
them.
Don't either.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
you know, the
plot is irrelevant,
bit.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Darren Starr, interestingly, the writer, wrote Melrose Place. So this just, it shouldn't surprise me because I loved all these shows. Beverly Hills 90210, you're far too young for that show. But that was a brilliant show of its time, probably one of the only ones at the time that was, you know, so American and glamorous. Melrose Place, Sex and the City, and now Emily in Paris. So, you know, all very similar vibe, very aspirational, very designer, just beautiful escapism, aren't they?
Exactly. It doesn't quite have Samantha's one-liners or the zingers that the girls in Sex and the City have delivered so far. Not, no quite memorable moments just like that, but it's fun.
That's a good point, actually, Bella, that there hasn't been a line or a word yet that's kind of gone into common parlance.
No.
But, you know, give it the next few episodes. We have stylist Laura Mullett on the line. Laura, are you there?
I'm there. I'm actually a big fan of Emily in Paris and I wanted to rush home from Electric Picnic to see it. I just think it is the funniest thing because it's unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with Bella. I think Patricia Field being part of it, it does bring that Sex and the City magic. But I also love that, for let's say for me today, I can get a takeaway. It's bubblegum for the eyes. I don't have to deep think to watch Emily in Paris. Even though the plots are convoluted, I can pick up where I left off and just kind of immerse myself in the kind of craziness of a PR intern having a 7,000 euro jacket. I just want to be Emily.
That's exactly it. That's the madness. You find yourself laughing at, you know, the designer everything, you know, from where, yeah, she eats to where she lives to the, you know, the voice that she has as quite a junior, yeah, executive in this company. But yet, it's glorious to look at, isn't it?
What I love as well is, you know, I'm obsessed with Paris, but I remember the times I visited Paris throughout different stages of my 20s and then kind of into my early 30s, they don't really, like, you know, everyone outside cafe floor, like influencers, stylists, anyone with their berets and their kind of outlandish style. Like Emily is the antithesis of what is considered cool girl Parisian style. So Cammy in the show, who's part of the love triangle, she's that kind of cool, undone, effortless Parisian. They deliberately make Emily to have her hair so perfect, her clothes so outlandish, like it really adds to her character that she's trying to fit in somewhere that if you're not kind of part of the club, you never can be. No matter how much money you spend on your clothes, style is something that can't be bought. So I think that's so interesting that she's styled in a way that kind of adds the exaggeration of her character, the exaggeration of someone working in PR and marketing. As you're saying, like in board meetings with like billion euro clients dictating. But I think there is an empowerment element too that you watch it and you're rooting for Emily. Even if she's annoying sometimes, she's kind of, again, hilariously funny. And, you know, as a character, I think there's moments where we feel sorry for her because she's living somewhere where sometimes she feels really unwelcome.
Yeah, she can be a bit vulnerable and a bit clunky in her ways as well, which is kind of helpful. Interestingly, by the way, and I didn't realise this at the start of it, but Lily Collins is the person who plays Emily and she's Phil Collins' daughter. Did everybody know that? Because I only discovered that recently.
You know, she's a nepo baby. I'd root for her. I think she's such a beautiful actress. I loved her as like a Snow White type figure. But yeah, I think she's very, very talented. She's obviously gone through her own battles kind of outside the public eye and she's made some kind of more intense films. So I think she's more than this bubblegum character, but she's genuinely, you know, becoming more respected in the acting world. But kind of to front a Netflix series that has
brilliant.
So many seasons. People that don't like Netflix shows like Emily in Paris are annoyed that, you know, we're on season 4. But I mean, the figures tell you like so many people tune in to watch it, whether they're hate watching it or watching it because it's a fun watch. It's something that's just getting more and more popular every year.
It's so true. We have Marie Short, by the way, from Marie Style Studio, joins us on the line in Paris. Marie, hello. Are you based in Paris? Bonjour.
Hello. Bonjour. Yeah, I am. I'm based in Paris. I'm from Paris.
And are you about to agree with us? Is this going to be an Emily in Paris love-in? No.
Yeah, people really like it. People do like it. They kind of treat it as a guilty pleasure. Like in one of the episodes, Gabriel takes her to McDonald's and he tells her that French people like having petit plaisir. And that's exactly what Emily in Paris is for us. We actually really like watching it, even though a lot of people would not really like to admit that they do enjoy watching the show.
Yes. Yeah, so so would you say in general the French are embracing it? The Parisians aren't embarrassed by it, are they?
I think they are embracing it. I was checking. It was the most watched thing in the last week on Netflix France, and it only came out not even a week ago. So, you know, it's very popular. I think what people don't like is that Emily is, you know, totally unrealistic. Like, she never steps foot on the metro. She's waving her iPhone around. You know, she's walking around sometimes not so safe areas at night in a miniskirt, and people are just like, oh, God, I hope it doesn't give ideas to people that, you know, you can do that in Paris. But I think people are quite, you know, like they got into it, you know, after the first season. I think people started to enjoy it a lot more.
Yeah, of course. And they know that it's escapism and it's not. Well, I hope nobody thinks that that's what will happen if you go to work in PR in Paris. It's so true, Bella, isn't it? You don't see her using public transport, you know, or packing up her lunchbox or anything like that.
No,
it's glam.
It's the most beautiful parts of Paris. I mean, there's not a rat to be seen. There's nothing.
Or a piece of litter.
No, it's glamorous. And she walks out of her apartment into this plaza with these picturesque little bistros, you know, and it's all beautiful. But that's what I think is so entertaining about it. I mean, there's a lot of horrible things going on in the news, and you can sit and you can watch and you can just dissect anything that you see in front of you. You know, oh, she's wearing this, she's doing that, oh, she texted this, oh, she's gone viral. Good for her. Go, Emily.
Yeah.
You know, it's a piece of mindless entertainment in its best form. And I think, you know, we look at these shows that don't get, you know, critically acclaimed, but are they entertaining? Yes. Like, we've stepped away so much from those early 2000s to 2010s films like the likes of John Tucker Much Stye, where they're just entertaining, but they don't have to be brilliant.
Yes. And there doesn't necessarily have to be a detailed plot. Like, someone made the point earlier on, Seinfeld was a show about nothing. It was the tiny minutiae of, you know, stuff that happens in your day. you know, there was no great plot whatsoever, but this was, you know, critically acclaimed, iconic show that's still watched over and over again. You know, we can be quite snobby about shows that are critically panned.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think we get these really convoluted shows with these really heavy plots that we can't really follow. Whereas Emily, you don't have to follow it. As I said, I watched the whole past three seasons and I turned it on and said, what happened?
Yeah.
But I could catch up in no time. No, it doesn't. Maybe it's for the simple-minded like me, but it's fun.
No, but I think we used to say, you know, and we watch a lot of gritty content, I think. You know, all of the real stuff that's available to us on all of the streaming channels. You know, there's a lot of grit. There's a lot of real life there. So I think it's okay to have the colour and the candy of something like this, isn't it? We used to call it a guilty pleasure. I'm just going with pleasure. It's really entertaining and lovely to watch. Laura, have you got clients coming to you wanting to dress like Emily now?
Do you know what? I always have had people that are going to Paris if they're booking. Like, let's say I get a lot of people that are interested in honeymoon styling. So they're trying to condense their outfits because if it's someone's first trip to Paris, I think they want to bring more clothes and they can pack in. But I've had a lot of people looking to emulate some of the more kind of monochromatic Chanel inspired looks, maybe on more of a high street budget. And so that's something that's always been popular. And my sister and I, when we went to Paris one time, we were working with the brand and we had all these tweedy outfits because I suppose that would have been our idea of what we always wanted to wear together on a girly trip to Paris. But yeah, I love how influential the show has been in terms of style. And for me, you know, when I look at it, I think the chaos of it is fun. I think the romance of it is fun. And I couldn't agree with you guys more about the guilty pleasure element. I think we should kind of revel in the silliness of something. And it doesn't have to be a grade A drama that's really complex that makes you think. Sometimes I think it's the escapism of a show that's a little bit silly, but has lots of colour. You know, I want to be Emily running around in my gorgeous outfits, eating croissants.
So do we all, Laura. So do we all. Now, just to balance this up a bit, Gen Z think work is actually like that portrayed in Emily in Paris. It's the worst show that was ever made. So I'm not surprised we're going to get texts in like this. We also have psychiatrist Brendan Kelly on the line. Brendan, are critics being unfair of a series like Emily in Paris, or does it give this new generation kind of notions about how glorious work is going to be?
No, it absolutely doesn't. It's clearly an escapist drama and it's great fun. So I think taking it too seriously isn't the way to go at all. I agree with you entirely. It is a pleasure. It is not a guilty pleasure. We tend to feel guilty about things that are simply pleasurable and there's no reason to feel guilty about this. So I wouldn't be at all concerned about it. Everybody is grand and everybody should simply keep watching it. As Bella says, it's fun. It's mindless fun. And maybe we don't always value that in our lives as much as we should. So this is a good way to do that.
That's a good reminder, isn't it, Brendan? We don't need to say guilty before pleasure anymore, do we? Just something we enjoy and just be honest about it.
Listen, as humans, we have always made up stories, be they, you know, stories about gods or stories about, you know, heroes and mythology and history. And this is just how we do it now. It's very easy to watch it. You know, it gives great enjoyment for people watching it. And there's really no particular downside. I don't think anybody mistakes it for reality. So there's a great deal to recommend with this kind of thing, as opposed to giving out about it. I mean, if a critic thinks it's like watching paint dry, if you don't like paint, then why on earth would you watch paint dry if you don't like paint? You know, no one's being forced to watch this. And as Bella points out, it is fun. And maybe that's something we don't embrace as clearly and honestly as we should.
It's very true. Bella, have you binged the latest latest episodes?
I've actually been very mindful and I haven't. I've been very demure and I've taken my time with this. And I'm only about halfway through the episodes that have gone out so far. But I think just like another note, it's so unbelievably current. It's going to be a brilliant show as a time capsule later on to watch back on because her job is so, it's so modern, the clothes that she's doing are so of the now. I think it's going to be like a really, really nice piece to see later on in 10 years.
Could we have Emily in Ireland, I wonder?
Oh, we can try. Yeah.
Well, we're already pitching for Electric Picnic to be broadcast on telly. So could we pitch an Emily in Ireland, Emily in Dublin?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
An interesting twist,
oh,
wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Down at Bambino's.
Exactly, with their pizza slices.
Yeah.
Could be very glam. Bella, thanks so much for joining us today. And thank you to all of our callers as well who joined us. I will continue to enjoy it. I've already binged the new season over the weekend, by the way.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.